We have been reading and studying in the Gospel of John. Just now we are in the 12th chapter of John's Gospel. And if you will open your Bibles at that point, I want to point out some things that will be found here in the latter part of the 12th chapter. As we're reading along and we're noticing how things went at the time our Lord Jesus Christ was here, we're learning certain things about the truth. We're learning certain things about the human beings who heard him and the way in which they responded. We're finding out certain things about the Lord himself and the things that he taught. We have been going along now in the 12th chapter, and I had just been commenting to you in verses 34 to 36. We had noted in our last study there's something there about how the people were puzzled by what the Lord Jesus had said with reference to himself. He had been pointing out to the people that the time had come when he should die that he might be raised from the dead, and he put it that he might be glorified, and he would have to be put to death in order that the work that he came to do might be accomplished. And he said in verse 32, I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me, which is to say that if he was crucified, because that's what lifting up from the earth would mean, that if he were crucified, that all men would be drawn toward him, and by that very power of his dying and being raised from the dead, he would actually lift men into the newness of life if they would put their trust in him. Then the people asked him a question in verse 34, showing that they were puzzled by what he had said, because they claimed they had heard in the law, that's in the scriptures, that Christ abideth forever, that is, that he's eternal. They couldn't understand how Christ could be eternal if he, personally, Jesus of Nazareth, was the Christ, and he was going to die. And you're reminded in their puzzle there, in the way in which they felt so confused, you're reminded of the experience that Nicodemus had when he heard that you must be born again. When he had been told you must be born again, he couldn't understand that. He couldn't understand how a man who was 40 years old could be born the second time. And what he didn't understand was that the language was used was that he should be born again, but the matter the truth referred to was not a physical birth. And so here, when he is saying to them that he would be lifted up, that he would be put to death, and then he would draw all men, would actually help men by this, they couldn't understand that. If he was put to death, how could he be the Messiah? How could he be the Christ? How could he save people? Now, you and I know the truth that they didn't know. We know that even though he was put to death on Calvary's cross, he was raised from the dead in the resurrection, and that's the very way in which it's done. They couldn't know that. Now, I want you to notice something. In verses 35 and 36, when the Lord Jesus answered, I want you to notice, he did not answer their question directly. This is very important to me and to you. Many of us in witnessing to the world outside, oftentimes we come across people who want to ask us questions, and the questions they ask us reach out beyond what we have said. Let's just keep in mind that folks may ask questions about things, and the truth is they would not understand the answer if it were given to them. The Lord Jesus knew this better than I can say it, and he shows here he didn't even answer the question, but he did tell them something. He told them, a little while is the light with you, walk while you have the light. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may be the children of light. And I mentioned it very quickly yesterday, want to draw it to your mind again today, that the Lord Jesus would say, as much light as you have, follow it. As far as you can see, follow it. Now, when you come to hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the gospel, perhaps the first thing that attracts you is the changed lives of people. Maybe someone will draw your attention to the fact that here was a man who was a worldly man and he was changed and became a godly man. Here is a person who is addicted to some habit like liquor or drugs, and he was converted. He was profoundly affected by the grace of God and completely changed. We see these outward demonstrations. We see these miracles, these wonder works that are done in this fashion. And this is as much as we see. We may not see into it deeply enough to know the truth is, the reason why. The reason why the man is delivered from the drug habit is because the old man in him, who was addicted to drugs is dead. And then the dead man being gone, the new man that's alive is the man in Christ Jesus, and he's not addicted to drugs. And this is the way in which, the route by which the person is delivered from that power. This is what he had said to them. And he told them now, go by what you know. You know about these miracles. You know about this wonder that is done while you're here. Go by that. Now we notice in verse 37, though he had done many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And this brings to our mind something else that's very important and that you and I need to think about. It's a little disheartening, but still we need to see it right here. Miracles, wonder works of various kinds, marvelous things that are done under the power of the gospel, can attract attention, but they have no power to save in themselves. These wonderful things can attract your attention, but they will not actually inwardly change your heart. The meaning of the miracles that these people saw did not impress the people. They didn't see the real meaning. They saw the miracle, but they were not impressed with the conviction of what it takes to produce them. Saving faith is grounded in more than the demonstration of great power. Now, the demonstration of great power attracts our attention, but it takes more than that. And this is what we see here. These people saw the miracles, but they didn't believe. Now look in verse 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief priests also, many did believe. Many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Here is another truth that is not very flattering, but it's absolutely true, and that is this. You can have faith, and to the extent that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you can believe that Jesus Christ, of whom the gospel speaks, really could and would save those who would come unto him, and yet a person might be hindered from actually committing himself to Christ because he's thinking of other people. People can actually think to themselves, I know I should go to church. I know I should give myself to the Lord. I know I should go to prayer meeting. I know I should enter into these spiritual things, but if I do, my family won't like it. And you might say to me, well, if he was a real believer, he could do that. And I would say, don't be quite so hard in your heart, in your mind. A person could be a real believer and be weak. You could be real, but not strong. A baby is really alive, but it's not strong. And that's the way in which you could be, and that's the way it would be with them. The Lord Jesus undertook to help these people. So he cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Now he's pointing beyond the miracle. You see the miracle and you believe in Jesus Christ. What makes that work? What made the miracle work? How did it come to pass? The power of God. And if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God is available to you. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, not so much on Jesus of Nazareth, but on him that sent me, on God himself. And he that seeth me, if you understand me, if you see the things the Lord Jesus does and you think about them, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you too can come into light. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not into the world to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, when he says he came not to judge the world, but to save the world, this is not to say the world won't be judged. The world's going to be judged all right. You'll see that in the very next verse. But he doesn't do the judging. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me gave me commandment. And this is a way of saying this. The words which the Lord Jesus spake while he was here upon earth really were the words of God, and anybody that's ever heard them is responsible before God for what he has done with them. For the Lord Jesus didn't speak of himself. He didn't speak out of his own mind. He didn't speak from his own understanding. He didn't speak from himself in the sense of even promising this as a human being, as Jesus of Nazareth. He spoke as from the Father, which sent him. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. That is to say, that his commandment leads into life everlasting. And whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. In this way, the Lord Jesus has drawn attention to himself. And he has called on men to put their trust in him. He has called upon them to come and yield themselves to him and to listen to him. And then he has given them certain promises. And now he goes on to say, this is not because I'm good and not because I'm strong and not because I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is because God is with me and God himself is working through me. It is the power of God that will save the soul. And it's the power of God that will save you. He says again, I have not spoken of myself. I spoke the things he gave me to say. And by believing in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're actually believing in God. And so in this whole chapter, the truth has been brought out more and more that we are focusing our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ and will be saved through him. What encourages us to believe in him is his power to work miracles, to do wonderful things when we trust in him, and he is personally moving to save us at all times. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to our hearts as we think on the Lord Jesus Christ. Incline us to trust in thee and to look toward thee, and help us, for thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.